Let's read just a very short passage, one that we know very well, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and starting at verse 8, which is on page 1222 in my Bible. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, "And there were shepherds in that country abiding without, and keeping watch by night over their flock. And lo, an angel of the Lord was there by them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they feared with great fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For today a Saviour has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and good pleasure in men." I suppose at this time of year, the world seems more aware of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we as Christians have a tremendous privilege of not just remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ once a year. We have a privilege of remembering the Lord as often as we do. And that's a much more important thing. But at this time of year, the world does seem more aware of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the message that I have to speak to you about tonight is not just about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much more to the story than that. Because while the incarnation is a wonderful event, there's also the cross and the blood that was shed upon that cross and the resurrection and the ascension. And if there was no cross, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. If there was no blood, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. If there was no resurrection, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. It's this tremendous person and the work that this person did, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the reason that this gospel message is able to go out tonight and this evening. And that you are able to come into the knowledge of the truth because of God's wonderful grace and God's wonderful love in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. I wanted to really focus on this verse here, verse 10. "And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For today a Saviour has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord." The first thing the angel says to these shepherds here is, "Fear not." And perhaps we have an idea that God is somehow angry or cross with us tonight. Perhaps we have an idea that when we come to a gospel and we hear the voice of God, that perhaps God's not going to accept us, or that perhaps that God is so against sin that there's absolutely no way that we can be forgiven. But the first thing that the angel says here is, "Fear not." And God is saying tonight that there is no need at all to be scared or to be fearful. Because God tonight is a God of love. And God tonight is a God who is saying that he wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all men to repent. The world today has some very strange ideas of God and who he is in his person. But the Bible says that God is a God of love. God is love. Those wonderful three words that we read in John. God is love. And tonight God's love will be shining out in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that we read about here. This little baby that was wrapped up in swaddling clothes. The full expression of God's love coming down to this very earth tonight. But it's with this love in mind that God is saying to you tonight that he's not against you. He's not against the sinner tonight. God is for you tonight. God loves you so much that he gave his only beloved son. That's the biggest gift that this world has ever seen. God's unspeakable free gift. And God gave it, and he's giving it tonight, and he's giving you the opportunity tonight to put your faith and trust in that wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God that is speaking tonight. Not a God who is angry, not a God who is annoyed. This is a God who is a God of love, and a God who wants to have you in his presence. And so the first thing that these angels say is fear. The angel says is, "Fear not." And the second thing that the angel says is, "For behold." And whenever you see the word "behold" in Scripture, it means that God is trying to draw your attention to whatever is going to come next. You know, in the world today, there's a lot of things that are trying to draw your attention. There's a lot of voices that are being, a lot of voices calling out to you tonight. There's a lot of distractions. And the enemy will be working very hard in this room tonight to keep you distracted from God's wonderful message of grace. Perhaps he's trying to get you to think about what you're doing tomorrow. Or maybe you've got something big that's happening in the week. Or maybe you've got something that's bothering you or worrying you. And the enemy will be desperately trying to keep your mind fixated on that rather than keeping your mind fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many distractions in the world tonight. But God's saying here, behold, he's trying to draw your attention to what this angel is saying next. And tonight, God will be drawing your attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, as a small, humble mouthpiece, will be also trying to draw your attention tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can have any effect at all upon your never-dying soul. And I just pray that tonight, that whatever I may say, that something of the Lord Jesus Christ may be brought before you tonight, because he's the only one that can have a real change and a real effect upon your hearts. Fear not, for behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy. Well, glad tidings, that's good news, isn't it? That's what this is all about. This is the gospel. And I suppose one of the shortest or nicest ways of putting this is found in Romans, which basically sets out the gospel, doesn't it? It sets out the good news of Jesus Christ. But in Romans chapter 3, it says, For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound like very good news. But before you get to the good news in the gospel, you have to understand that you are a sinner that is in need of a saviour. That's before you can get to the wonderful next verse in that chapter. You have to understand that you're a sinner that's in need of a saviour. Now, you might think, well, yes, there's a lot of bad things that go on in the world. Yes, I'm happy to admit that there's a lot of sinfulness that goes on in the world. But it's really not about that. It's about you and your heart. We are all under this same curse of sin. And we might be happy to admit, well, yes, there's some parts of my life that are not very good, but there's also some parts that are pretty good. But actually, what God wants you to come to, and what the Holy Spirit will be working in your heart tonight, is to convict you that actually there's nothing good about you at all. Even those bits that you think are good are not good in God's eyes. You know, the Apostle Paul had to learn that, didn't he? He was somebody that you could have looked at and said, well, yeah, he's a model citizen. Somebody that knew the Bible, or the Old Testament at least, better than I will ever hope to. Somebody that lived a very upright and standing upright in the world. He'd have looked very good. And yet he had to come to it that everything before his conversion was as nothing before God. And that's what you have to come to as well. We all might come from very nice families, from very nice homes. And we might think that we're compared to lots of other people in the world, we're not really that bad. But it's not about comparing yourself to other people. If you compare yourself to somebody else, you're just comparing a sinner with a sinner. You have to compare yourself with God's perfect standard. And what does the Bible say? It says we've come far short of God's perfect standard. That's what we have to compare ourselves to. We can't compare ourselves to our friends, to our parents, to our relatives. It doesn't work. You just compare a sinner with a sinner. But tonight God is saying that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's, if you like, the first part of the good news. It sets us up for the next part of this verse, because after verse 23 in Romans, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. And you know, the answer to the question of sin was God sending his beloved son into this world. A saviour has been born, the angel said. A saviour has been born. That was God's answer. You know, in John it says, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You know, the Bible has a wonderfully understated way of putting these verses together. This is a massive, huge event. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. This was the Lord Jesus Christ stooping down to this earth. You know, you can read about that in Philippians, can't you? He emptied himself and he came to this very earth. What a wonderful message there is tonight, that God sent his only beloved son to this very earth here. A saviour has been born. And You can read about it later on in the Gospels, that he grew up here. He was absolutely perfect. You know, there's never been a perfect person that lived in this world ever. There's never been somebody that was perfect except for this man here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was absolutely perfect in every way, sinless in every way, unique in every way. You know, when he was baptized, there was that voice out of heaven, wasn't it? This is my beloved Son, in whom I found my delight. God had never been able to say that before, but he was able to pour out that wonderful acclamation upon the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved Son. You know, you can think of God having complete delight in his Son and everything that he did down here. Absolutely sinless, absolutely perfect. Everything that God had wanted from man was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sinless, sin apart, it says, doesn't it? He was absolutely perfect. You know, the Jews couldn't find fault in him. Throughout his life, they tried to bring claims against him, and particularly at his trial, they tried to bring claims against him, but they couldn't find anything. They ended up having to find false witnesses. Pilate couldn't find fault with him. The thief on the cross couldn't find fault with him. There was nothing wrong and sinful about the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely perfect. And he had to be perfect, because it's not just his life that is important. As I said at the beginning, there would be no gospel here if I didn't mention the cross and the blood, because that perfect sinless man had to die on that cross at Calvary. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, and we deserved that punishment. But God, in his mercy and in his grace, designed the way whereby we can come back to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. A penalty has to be paid. God, we spoke about this in the reading, that God is a righteous God. God can't sweep things under the carpet, as it were, or turn a blind eye. There is a righteous basis whereby God works, and he always has done and he always will do. And that righteous basis meant that somebody had to pay the penalty before God could come out to bless you tonight. And that judgment fell upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if that's not love, I don't know what is. That God would give his own Son to save a sinner like me, undeserving, unmerited completely. And yet, dear friend, the same offer of salvation is open to you tonight. Amen. Nothing that you've ever done in your life has merited the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God, in his grace, has seen fit so that you can come under the sound of the gospel again. You have another opportunity tonight to look at that person, the Lord Jesus there hanging on that cross, and to say, that was for me. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He had to die. And then it says here, God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. You know, the blood is on that mercy seat. And God's got that righteous basis tonight to come out and bless you. And you know, that blood there is not just, it's not a temporary thing. You know, if you read back in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of the animals, that was a temporary thing. It had to be done year on year, because the blood was not effective. It was all looking forward to this one event here, the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice. But the Lord Jesus' sacrifice, that's permanent. If you come under the shelter of the blood, there's no way that you can lose your salvation at all. It's a permanent thing. You know, perhaps, I sometimes think perhaps the devil, you know, he's called the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? And perhaps he sometimes likes to go before God and tries to point down to me perhaps doing something down here that I shouldn't be doing. You know, and he's saying, look at Tim down there. Look at what he's doing. How can you possibly still love somebody like that? How can you possibly still have love in your heart for somebody as sinful as that? And yet, what does God say? God says he can't see anything. All he can see is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that blood is so efficient, so sufficient for absolutely everybody in this room tonight. And it's a permanent thing. And if you come under the shelter of that blood, there is no question that your sins will ever be brought up again. I will never remember them anymore, God says. And if God is able to forget them, then so can we. If God's able to put them behind him, if God's able to look at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then so can we. You know, it's a wonderful message of grace and love that God is spreading out tonight. And all it needs for you to do is to come into the same blessing, is to repent. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a difficult message. It's not a message that is difficult to understand. You know, back where we were in Luke, these angels spoke to just normal people, to shepherds. There's no, you don't have to be anybody special to accept the glad tidings. It's for anybody. It even says, which shall be to all people. There's nothing particularly that you have to do. There's nothing particularly that you have to be, or you have to be at a certain stage in your life, or a certain qualification. It's to all people. And all you do is repent and have faith. That is the simplicity of the gospel. It's God is in the business of revealing himself to people that are completely unassuming. Completely, you know, it says that in the beginning of Corinthians, that he's not chosen many of the people that are... well, I better find it. It's not chosen many of the people that are... where are we? Yeah, not chosen many wise according to the flesh, not many powerful, not many high-born. There is... The gospel is going out to everybody. You don't have to have a title. Don't have to have a special place in the world. It goes out to everybody and to anybody. And you, dear friend, are included in that wonderful message tonight. You're included in that title here. All people. That's everybody here tonight. So, it says, which will be for all people. But before that, it says, glad tidings of great joy. And joy is something that this world is very short on. But you know, in the glad tidings, God is able to bring joy to the heart of a sinner. God is able to bring tremendous joy into your heart. You know, the world is full of people that are happy. Happiness is something that the world is able to offer you. But joy is something that only God is able to offer you. You know, the younger son, when he went to the far country, I expect he was very happy for a short time. But when he came back to the father's house, I think that was more, that was joy. And I think there's a difference between happiness and joy. And tonight God is saying that which will be for all people, and the glad tidings are of great joy. And that's only something that God can offer you. This tremendous joy in knowing that your sins have been forgiven. You know, it's whenever you speak to a Christian, you can sometimes see it in their eyes, the joy that they have. You can tell when somebody's got their sins forgiven and they're secure in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the joy that only God can give. And that can be your joy tonight if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look upon that cross, you look upon that shed blood and say, that was for me. Finally, we've got a little bit later down in the chapter here, not in verse 10, but down it says they were in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and good pleasure for men. You know, ultimately we're saved for God's glory. It's God that desires you to be saved. It's God that wants you to be saved. And you know, it's not just about being saved from the penalty of hell, as amazing as that is. It's not even about having a destination of heaven when we leave this earth, but it's something that we can enjoy now, God's glory. And it's a wonderful thing to think about, that God delights to save us, and God delights to have us in his presence, and God delights with the way that he is able to bring men into blessing. You know, you think of back to the younger son in Luke, when he came back and there was that great celebration that was put on in the father's house. God delighted to celebrate the fact that a sinner had returned to his house. And tonight God delights and will celebrate the fact that we'll be rejoicing in heaven tonight over one repenting sinner. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think about, that God delights to have you in his presence. God wants to have you in his presence, and he desires to have you in his presence. And it's not something that you can just look forward to, but it's something that you can enjoy right now. And that's why God's given us the Holy Spirit as well, so that we can enjoy all these things. You know, the Christian is supposed to be a heavenly person, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to enjoy all these heavenly things right now. There's so many blessings that God wants to bring you into. The penalty of hell, being saved from the penalty of hell, is just the very start. There is so much that God wants to give you. There's so much that God wants to bless you with tonight. He wants to give you a place in heaven. He wants to bring you into this relationship of sons with God the Father. He wants to give you this bright and blessed hope that one day that you'll see your Saviour face to face. There's so many things that God desires to bless you with tonight, and it's all based on the Lord Jesus Christ and his work and his worth on that cross. You know, there's not too much else to say about this. Well, there probably is, but I don't know very much else about it. But this is just, you know, the world gets, at Christmas, gets so fixated upon the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. And it's a wonderful, wonderful event. But it's the cross, and it's the blood, and it's the resurrection, and it's the ascension, and it's where he now is that is also just as important. Mm-hmm. That we have a living Saviour. Somebody that's seated at the Father's right hand, who intercedes for us. That's another blessing, isn't it? The Lord Jesus is able to intercede for us. Because when we do mess up down here, we have an advocate in heaven. What a blessing. God has designed this great plan of blessing. And all it requires you to do tonight is to repent and have faith. It's simple. It's easy. But it's something that will change your life forever. And it's something that I pray that everybody in this room may do before they leave this room. You know, we get very distracted. We get very, we get all sorts of things buzzing around our heads. But I just pray that tonight you'll just spend a few minutes thinking about this small passage of scripture here, about the way that the Lord Jesus came in. And then think about how he died on that cross, and how he's risen again, and how he's seated at the Father's right hand. And dear friend, he's done all that, firstly, for the to keep in the will of God and to do the will of God. But he's also done it for you, dear friend. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I wonder if you can say what Paul could say there in Galatians. I know I can. I know there's lots of people here in this room that can. But dear friend, I'm interested in you. Can you say that? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I pray that we all can do so, for his name's sake. Amen.